Our scripture today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, starting at verse 25 and going to 30. The subtitle in my Bible is Rest for the Weary. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord.
How's everyone doing? Awesome. Great. Oh, fantastic. Thank you. I was taking a preaching class in 2022, I think is when it was. And we had to do a 15-minute sermon. And you're all like, he's going to do a 15-minute sermon. We could try. And at the end, everyone wrote a feedback sheet, and we had to spend the week reviewing the feedback that we got. And then we had to get up in front of everybody and share the two main takeaways of what we were going to work on for our next sermon that we had to preach, which would have been a few weeks later. And one thing that was very clear in mind is that I spoke too fast. Partly because I only had 15 minutes. But as I reflected on it, I thought, why did I speak too fast? And in fact, while I was giving my, these are the things I'm going to work on, the teacher said, you're speaking kind of fast right now. And I thought, okay, what is going on here? Because there was a time when someone told me that I spoke slowly, so I don't know. And after I reflected on it, I realized that something had actually rewired my brain a little bit. And I spent, and still do sometimes, spend a lot of time listening to podcasts or audiobooks on double speed. To the point that that starts to sound normal, and when you put it back to normal speed, you're just listening to a bunch of drunk people. And what I realized was because it became normal, that just sounded like how everyone's supposed to talk really, really fast, like it's just normal. It rewired my brain. And the thing is that technology in general does rewire our brains. In my generation and younger right now, it's phones, social media, TikTok, unless you're in America, now it's banned. Amen, I think, but all these things actually rewire our focus. With my parents, it was television. My grandparents, it was probably radio, but I don't know, I can't ask them. But things that draw our focus and end up rewiring the way that we think and the way that we view the world and the way we even view things like rest and silence and solitude. And these things, as practices that Jesus teaches, that Jesus did, are things that help us become more like Jesus. If we review the goals of being a disciple or an apprentice of Jesus, it's to be with Jesus, abide in him, so we learn from him, and in doing so, we practice his things, becoming like him, doing what he does. That's the path of discipleship. And so we've talked about being with Jesus, abiding in him. Last week we talked about our minds being transformed so that we become like him. And we started talking a little bit about practice, right? I said, we're not talking about a game. I had to show my wife that clip, if anybody's seen that clip of Allen Iverson. She was like, what were you saying? And I showed it to her, and she went, this is amazing. But We practice these things not because we're perfect at them, but because this is what Jesus has called us to do. And this is what Jesus has said is how we follow Him and become like Him. And so last week we practiced community. Today, after we're done here, we're going to go out and have all the baked goods. The first people there are going to get all of them, and then by the time if you're late, you're not going to get... No, hopefully people are sharing. And spend time fellowshipping with each other. Spend time in community. That's important. But it's also important that we rest. That we take quiet time. That we slow down. And the passage we read this morning, Jesus in the first part is explaining that basically the religious elite had rejected His message, and all the unlearned, everyday people, people like me, and maybe some of you who are unlearned, they were the ones that grasped Jesus' message. And then at the end of that, Jesus says these things, which, yeah, it always looks better there. Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. That Jesus is the source of our rest. That the way God has even created the order of how we should do things comes from Jesus and provides rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. That He actually teaches us the way to do these things through His life and through His teachings. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. A yoke was really essentially someone's interpretation of the law of the Old Testament. And the religious elite, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they had taken the law and made it into a heavy burden. They made it into a heavy burden. But Jesus, when He says His yoke, His teaching, the things that we learn from Him, are light. They're not burdensome. They don't weigh us down. And one of those things is seen in the way Jesus teaches us about rest. The way Jesus teaches us about resting. So today we are going to look at Sabbath or resting. We're going to look at silence and solitude, which is essentially another way of looking at how we approach God in prayer and devotion. But Jesus provides rest. And I've heard this passage taught in a couple of ways that I don't think are very helpful. One is, essentially, if I were to summarize it, Jesus is our rest now, so no resting. Which doesn't really make much sense. Jesus rested. And yes, we find rest in the teachings of Jesus, in the way of Jesus. We find rest in the fact that we don't have to work to earn our salvation, that we are given the grace of God freely, in that it is by faith and not by works, so that no one may boast, as we read in Ephesians, that we are saved and we are brought into His family, and then He calls us into a life with Him. Just like in the story of the Exodus, God saved His people and then gave them the law. He did not give them the law and say, work it out for yourselves so that you can be saved. So we are saved, we're in God's family, and He gives us rest. The other way that this has been taught, and I've heard it taught, is that the devil doesn't rest, so why should we? And all I got to say to that is, if you're taking your cues from the devil, you ought not. God rested. God rested. He finished creation and He rested. He didn't need to. He's God, but He rested. He showed us the way. And in the rest, or in the first part of Matthew chapter 12. We see two stories of Jesus encountering challenges on the day of rest, the Sabbath. If you got the what's happening, I added this part as something that you could read leading up to today. But we're going to summarize it a little bit. We have two stories. One is the disciples walking through the field and picking grain, and the other one is an encounter at a synagogue where Jesus asks about healing. In the first one, the disciples are walking through a field with Jesus on the Sabbath, and they start plucking heads of grain. And they're accused of doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath. First of all, plucking heads of grain from someone else's field was perfectly legal. That's actually in the law. So they weren't breaking the law in that way. But what law were they breaking? They were breaking this law that the Pharisees had created. A well-intentioned law. When the Jewish people came back from exile, they basically came up with a plan where never again will we anger God so much that we'll be sent into exile, so we need to create some fences around the law. They basically made it so that we can't even get anywhere near the law. It's kind of like if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, and when the serpent tempts Eve in the garden, the law God gave was, don't eat from the tree, but Eve adds, we don't even touch that tree. It's kind of like that. We have this natural tendency to want to put things, barriers in place so we don't get anywhere near it. So they added fences around the law, and it started to be, when it came to the Sabbath, it was things about what you could not do on the Sabbath. Were you allowed to walk so far on the Sabbath? If you walk too far, does that mean it's work? So if you drove here today, does that mean it's work? Or if you have to trim your plants, does one leaf mean it's work or two leaves? So they came up with all these laws and ways to assess whether or not you're actually breaking the Sabbath on the Sabbath, that basically you had so many things to think about that the Sabbath became no rest at all, because all you're doing is mentally exhausting. The Pharisees had added to the law. And then Jesus shares a couple of stories about Sabbath breaking. One is David going into the temple and eating the bread, and Scripture does not condemn him for doing it, nor would the Pharisees condemn him for doing it. And the other one is that the priests actually had to work on the Sabbath. They broke the Sabbath, and no one is upset about those things. And Jesus says, he quotes, and I'll just read it to you. He says, if only you had known the meaning of, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. One thing is that the reason why the priests could break Sabbath is because the temple was the greatest thing in Israel. Jesus is revealing here that he is greater than the temple, but he's also revealing the heart of the law is for people, the flourishing of people, not for the rigidity and burden to lay it on people like the Pharisees had basically created. Once again, well-intentioned to start with, but it turned into something that it wasn't supposed to be. And the second story, Jesus goes into a synagogue. It actually says their synagogue. So it must have been the synagogue of the people who were complaining. And there's someone with a withered hand. And Jesus asks them, well, actually, let me just turn to Scripture and read it, because it's easier this way. In order to accuse Jesus, they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? The answer, according to the Pharisees, was only if someone's life is threatened can you heal on the Sabbath. And then Jesus says to them, if you had a sheep that was in danger, that needed help, you wouldn't even think twice about going to help that sheep. Well, how much more important to God is a person who is suffering? It reveals that their hearts, their laws were callous. They had placed these burdens on people so much that they couldn't see the mercy, the intent behind the Sabbath. And of course, Jesus corrects them and says, it is right to do good on the Sabbath, and to prove it, he instantly heals that person. And the point of all of this, the point of what Jesus is talking about here, is that resting shouldn't be a burden. Isn't that the simplest thing, probably? Resting shouldn't be a burden. But sometimes people created into a burden. And it can happen today. Even reading books on that talk about Sabbath, sometimes they get a little burdensome, like you shouldn't do anything on the Sabbath, you should just not move. Like, I don't know, I have 3 kids, and if I didn't move, they'd kill each other. Might be nice, but the Sabbath shouldn't be a burden. Resting shouldn't be a burden. In the same story in the book of Mark, Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man. Read that as humanity. Not humanity for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is even Lord of the Sabbath. Resting was made for us. It was made for us to enjoy God's creation. It was made for us to recognize that we are not God. Here's the problem with our world today. And it's something that I've hinted at or even stated over this series already. We live in a 24/7 world. My mom used to tell me, there was a time when I was young where nothing was open on Sundays. How many of you remember that? I remember hearing it. I don't remember it actually being a thing. But now, everything's open on Sundays, and it'd be weird for a lot of people to think that anything would be closed on a Sunday. But that was the normal pattern of life for a long time, to actually rest. Now it's hard to rest because we have supercomputers that we walk around with everywhere where everyone can track our locations and know exactly where we are at any moment and get a hold of us. I've had, when I was a youth pastor, parents texting and calling me. I'm like, first of all, how'd you get my number? Second of all, why are you calling me at night when I'm trying to put my kids to bed? But that would happen. Or on vacation or anywhere else. And that's part of being a pastor is being available, and that's true and good. But there's also, we're so connected, and it can be so challenging to actually find rest because we're dialed in and plugged in to devices that have rewired our brains, whether it's the television for some people or a phone for other people or a computer, whatever it is, that makes it hard for us to actually rest and unplug from the normal everyday stuff and just be. It can be challenging. In fact, our society kind of vilifies taking time off. And if you read the statistics, we take far less time off today than people in previous generations, which I didn't think would be true, but it is. In fact, one of the most popular musicals of all time now, Hamilton, if anybody's seen it, I don't know if I can recommend it, but if you've seen it, so have I. It is, well, one thing about Hamilton, one of its crimes is it made us theater kids think we could rap. We can't. It has the most words of any musical ever written, and they're all said very quickly. Another reason why I maybe was speaking fast after watching that. But the hero of the story, Alexander Hamilton, over and over again, is basically in a rush. He's always in this, the refrain is, why are you always acting like you're running out of time? The villain is always biding his time, taking his time. Our society, even in this simple play that you can watch online now, but before you had to go to New York to see it, vilifies slowing down, resting. But it's something we all need because we are not God. We need to rest. So I want to give you just a few ways you can rest because, like I said, it's not a dogmatic thing. It's not a burden. It is something that we get to do. Ways to rest. Worship. Come to church on a Sunday and worship with your community. Or spend time worshiping on your own, reading scripture, praying. These are all things that you can do. You can worship. Go outside. That needs to be said to my generation and younger a little bit more than some people. But go outside and enjoy creation. We live in a beautiful part of the world. I've been to other parts of the world. They are not as beautiful. We can, not that other parts aren't beautiful, but we live in a very beautiful part of the world. We have so much to go outside and see and enjoy and see the beauty of God's creation. Go outside. Enjoy it. God enjoyed His creation when He rested. He modeled that for us. Spend time with friends and family. Enjoy each other's company. Read a book. Read, just enjoy reading. Some people, now here's the thing, some people don't enjoy reading. This might be something for me. But enjoy reading. But this is my recommendation, and when I would tell this to my students, they would think I was crazy. But read a book, not an e-book. There was an IKEA commercial that came out years ago where they had their catalog, and it was only going to be in paper. And they said, it's the IKEA catalog, new technology. It's not an e-book. It's a book. Read a book. Unplug from the everyday tech stuff that we get to. Turn the TV off. Turn the radio off. Get away from the news for a little while, because that's just going to lead you down a dark, dark path. And spend time doing other things that you enjoy. Eat a meal or fast from a meal. The point is, essentially, to find things to do and intentionally take time to rest. But to not be like you have to fit into this mold, and if you do, then if you don't, then you're not doing it right, because that's what the Pharisees were doing. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to find ways that we can rest, ways that we can get out of our normal rhythms and routines. My teacher at DLBC, he said, one of the ways that I rest is by mowing the lawn. I don't know if anybody here would say that mowing the lawn is restful, but to him it was. And it was because he spends a lot of time reading. He spends a lot of time thinking through things and meeting with people, and being by himself, mowing the lawn was something that he found enjoyment and rest in. Personally, I just let it grow. Make a jungle in there. But find ways and recognize that we're all in different seasons of life too. Some of us have more time to rest than others now. Some of us have children that don't know the meaning of the word rest. And some of us have lots of things going on, but find that time where we can do it. You know, my kids are always in a rush. They're always in a rush to do something. What are we going to do next? What are we going to do? Always in a rush. Except when we actually have somewhere to go. Then they slow down and teach me all about slowing down and getting out of the rhythms of life. Can't win with them, but whenever my daughter is taking so long to, she's brushing her teeth so slowly, putting the toothpaste on, like, we have to go. It teaches me a little bit about getting out of our regular routines and rhythms. And I want to spend a little bit of time at the end here talking about those last two. Spending time alone and praying. And also, we're going to end a little bit early. Hopefully I can manage it. You're like, it wasn't 15 minutes, Brad. So that at the end of the service, you can take some time to center and spend some quiet time before you leave the sanctuary and go eat and fellowship, to spend some quiet time before God, before you head out into your week and everything that you have coming up. So we want to give you that opportunity too, but I'll talk more about that in a second. This is a practice that Jesus did over and over again. Over and over again, there's a word that is used that just means quiet place. Jesus went here, a solitary place, to pray. This was after he'd spent a lot of time with people, but it's also right before he was about to spend more time doing the thing that he was called to do, which was go in and share the gospel and preach and heal and do all those things. He went away quietly. Early in the morning, why? Because that's the only time everyone was asleep and he could sneak away. And he spent quiet time with the Father to pray. And this is something that Jesus taught us to do too. When you pray, go into your inner room, shut the door, and pray to your Father in heaven who is unseen. Someone this week asked me about why I put A or B on verses there. If anyone's ever curious about that, it's just me telling you that I'm only using the first half of the verse or the second half of the verse. That way, I'm not using the whole verse there, referencing the whole verse. Anyway, that's just a side note. When you pray, get alone. I used to hear people talk about going into their prayer closet. And I was like, what kind of house do you have that you have a whole closet for praying? And if you do, good for you. My closets all have stuff in them, mostly toys. But find that place where you can be alone with God so that you're not praying in front of people. But it's not even about praying in front of people. It's about quieting and getting out of that regular rhythm and routine and spending quiet time before God, spending time in prayer with Him. And the other thing that Jesus did when He taught about prayer in Matthew chapter 6 is He gave us a simple prayer to pray, a simple template to follow. He said, when you pray, pray like this. And we've already read things together today, so let's read this together out loud. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We can get into all the little nuances of this prayer and how profoundly complex it really is and how simple it is. But this is a simple prayer, a simple way to pray, to align ourselves with God's will, to worship Him, and to ask Him to sustain us and to forgive us and to help us to forgive and to ask Him to help us to resist temptation. This is how we can pray. And we don't have to pray these words, but we can. Jesus prayed a lot of prayers in Scripture. And a lot of them had a lot more words and a lot more things to say than this, but this is a good model to follow. To worship Him, to align ourselves with His will, and to ask Him for what we need for forgiveness and with help with forgiveness, and to lead us away from temptation. So as we conclude here, I just want to really give a few types of prayers that you can consider and think about. And the point isn't that to do all these in one go or think that these are ways that we have to do it or anything like that. It's to give us options to think differently about prayer maybe, but to also for us to know that it's not about getting everything right. It's about taking that intentional time, whether it's a couple of minutes in the morning before you head off to work, to quietly spend time with God, to pray and really be with Him so that you can be sustained with Christ throughout your day, to focus that quiet time with Him. It might not be long. It might be longer for some people, but we might not all have the same amount of time to give, and that's okay. So here's some types of prayer. Singing, reciting Scripture, these are things that we do together as we read Scripture together or as we sing songs together or even read pre-written prayers together. This is a way that we can pray. If you don't know what to pray, you can find Scripture to pray or find prayers that have been written down by people throughout history. You can look up the prayers of various figures throughout church history and you can find prayers that you can pray. Or you can find a song that might be meaningful to you that could become a prayer. And then there's prayer. I'm calling it prayer from the heart. This is probably the prayer that many of us are most familiar with, where we just talk to God. Talk to Him about the things we're going through. Talk to Him about the things that we need. It's really the prayer at the heart of the Lord's Prayer. And then there's the listening prayer. And I'll be honest, this one's hard for me because this is where we actually sit quietly and just listen. It's hard for me to sit quietly and listen sometimes. But oftentimes we expect to hear from God, but we don't listen. To sit quietly and maybe read Scripture and listen. And just be okay with silence I mean real silence. I mean the phone's off, the TV's off, there's no music playing, or maybe if it is, there's instrumental music playing. But to really enjoy silence. One thing that I used to like to do that I can't do now because of children is get up early and go down to Crescent Beach and walk down that path that goes past the regular path and just keep walking and just find a rock to sit on and just look out over the water and listen to the waves and pray and then spend some time listening. The other one is, I've written there, sitting with God, but what I mean really is being alone in silence, meditating on Scripture, and spending time just enjoying being with God in His presence. None of these are going to be necessarily easy, depending on our temperament, depending on how rewired our brain has been, and it can take time. So the point isn't to spend hours and hours a day. The point is to unplug a little bit from everyday life, to get out of the rush, and to rest, get alone, and spend time with God quietly, to reflect on all that He has done in your life, to thank Him, and then to recognize that He is with us in everything, and to bring whatever it is, whatever you're going to be going through that day, to Him in prayer. And just spend time with Him. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank You that You are with us. We thank You that You care about us. We thank You that You gave us a model to follow, the way of Jesus. That Your burden is not heavy, that Your yoke is not hard. But You have called us to be with You and to become like You through practicing Your way. So I pray You would help us practice resting, actually unplugging from all the noise of the world around us so that we can just be with You, be with each other, so that we can have our brains rewired to be transformed, so that we can slow down. I pray You would help us to develop the skill of resting and of silence and of solitude, even if it's only for a few minutes at a time. So this morning, as we take some time to practice this, I pray that however long we can manage, You would be with us, that You would lead us, that You would guide us, that You give us peace and understanding, that we would bring our burdens, our cares, our needs to You, that we have on our minds today and for this week, and spend time preparing for what You have ahead. No matter how daunting it is, we know that You are with us. And this practice reminds us of that. In Your name, amen.